Evening, everybody. This we're gonna have a little something special today. Since it's the holiday season, so we're gonna have this game called Name Your Tune. As we're gonna go, Ruth is gonna be playing a tune, and you gotta name it, and then we'll sing it all together. Okay, Ruth, hit it. Oh, which one? Okay. Away in the Manger. Okay, ladies.
Are we breaking up into teams? Is this a boys versus girls one?
Yeah. Oh no, this is all together. What number is that? I don't know. I'm having to... Away in the Manger. Okay, Away in the Manger. That's.
It would be 128.
Oh, okay, let's start with the serves. We'll sing all three verses. Away in the manger, no crib or a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky, I all look down where he laid, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Two, the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love the Lord Jesus, look down in the sky, and stay by my side until morning. Is high. Three. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and bid us for heaven to live with thee there. Amen. Okay, let's hear another one here. What do we have? What's that? Here, girl, ladies and gentlemen. Yourself a merry little Christmas. Till a heart be glad.
From now on,
your child will send me. I don't know my son. I don't know the song. Oh boy, look at, we wish you a Merry Christmas. That is.
That's number
316. 316? You sure? Oh man, you got beat on that one. I don't think so, the way.
Oh, that's the
two
way.
It's just a Christmas carol.
Okay, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Tidings reaching to you and our King. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. Okay, what's the next one, there, ladies? Oh my goodness. Wow, here we go.
143.
Okay. There's 1, 2, and 4. And, oh little town of Bethlehem. still we see light above the deep and dreamless sleep. Stars of stars go by, yet in the dark tree shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born, O Mary, and gather up above, while mortals sleep, the angels keep their march of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Okay, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this gathering from among our brothers and sisters to be among us, to praise thy name and fellowship. May you, Lord, be with us this day and those who are still coming to church. May you guide them and protect them and bless this service we have tonight. And all these pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Next one, Digger. Okay. Okay, silent.
Was fun. Let's have a quick devotion real quick, and then we'll continue our fellowship in the fellowship hall. I think the ladies prepared and brought a lot of food. There's also gifts. I think we're going to play the White Elephant over there while we're having food. So let's give us a quick devotion real quick, and then we'll continue on. Okay, turn to 1 Corinthians. I just want to look at one verse. So I think we have visitors in the back. Welcome to Chula Vista Wild Baptist Church. This is not our usual Sunday night. It's our Christmas fellowship. In case you're wondering, what's going on with this church? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Just want to share with you one text. Just one verse. I was asked, when I enrolled in the seminary, I was asked this question, and my answer to that question was here. The question was, why I must preach the gospel? That was the question that I had to answer as a part of a student of the seminary. And the answer that I gave him was this text. Notice verse 18, after the discourse on the arguments about the baptism, about the church being divided over the issue of baptism and who's following what. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 18, chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ in December, most of you know that it is not the actual, date. Jesus Christ wasn't really born on December 25. The celebration of Christmas, the word Christmas comes from Christ Mass, which was Catholic in origin. You and I both know that. Nevertheless, I see nothing wrong with celebrating the birth of Christ. As a matter of fact, in the workplace and in the world, little by little, they're trying to do away with Christmas. In the workplace, for example, it's you cannot say Merry Christmas. Okay, and in some stores, they're prohibited. If you're a store employee, you cannot say Merry Christmas to your store employees, to the customers. Otherwise, you get in trouble with your boss. Sometimes you get you can offend people by that, but you know what, the Bible says if you believe in Christ, the verse says the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness. The preaching of the cross, the gospel of the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, to those who do not believe, it's foolishness. But here's why I must preach the gospel. Look at the next phrase. Unto us which are saved. Here's why I need to preach the gospel. Here's why I need to continue to preach the gospel. Because to those who are saved, to us who are saved, the Bible says it is the power of God. It is the power of God, not for those who do not believe. They can choose not to believe. They can choose not to celebrate Christmas. But if you are saved today, it is the power of God in your life. Amen. You know, we're approaching a season where they say a lot of people would commit suicide in December. Why is that? Well, because they have no reason to live. They have no hope of salvation. But to us who are saved, the Bible says, it is the power of God. I was looking at the sword of the Lord, and I was looking at the missionary letters. You know, a lot of the missionaries, a lot of pastors, they live much longer than those who are unsaved. They live longer than politicians. They live longer than physicians. They live longer than lawyers. And I was asking, oh, how could that be? Pastor Wetzel, for example, is 91 or 92. And when I was reading the Sword of the Lord, I noticed that a lot of those preachers and authors of the articles are in their 70s and 80s. Some of them are in their 90s. Now, the average lifespan in America is about 70, 80. But more and more among Baptist preachers, among Bible-believing Christians, we live long. Think about that. We eat the same. We live in the same country. We live in the same houses. We have the same temperature, the same weather. Then why is it that Christians tend to live longer than those who do not have Christ? It's true. They say that most people commit suicide. The time span of most suicides occur at the age of 25 to 40. My age group, my wife and I's age group. But if you also look at every congregation in America, that is the smallest age group. We're called the millennials. I was reading an article. It says that why are the millennials not coming back to church? Why are there not a lot of millennials in the church nowadays? You find 40 and above, and then the younger generation, because they don't have a choice. They're told by their parents to come to church. They don't have a choice. Maybe they're in a Christian school. They're in college. So they have to be in the church. But when you reach that age of 20, all the way to 40, when you're establishing your family, you're building your career, then you have an option. You have to make a decision. Are you going to follow Christ? Are you going to live for Christ, or are you not? Most young people my age, most millennials like me, their focus is their career. Their focus is on building family. Their focus is on achieving fame. Their focus is on being established and being stable. And it's not until later on, after the age of 40 and 50, when the kids begin to grow up, then they suddenly begin to return. They start to return and come back in the church. Is it true? Look at every average church and tell me the smallest age group. It's not the 20s and below. Look at our age. Look at this congregation right here. They're here. The 20s below are here. The 40s and above are also here. I don't see anyone else besides my wife and Sister Ruthie. There's no one else that's in the 30 to 40. Why is that? But you know why I am here? Why, you know, why my wife is here? You know why my whole family is here? Because the Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Amen. Because I want to have some power in my life. Not for my own sake, not for my own benefit, but because I want to live long. I do. That way He can use me more and longer. But I need a source of power that will allow me to continue to do what I do. And there's no other source, there's no other concept, there's no other idea that can allow me to do what I do except for the preaching of the cross. I don't always preach like this. But every time I preach like this, it's because I'm preaching to myself. I hope you understand that. Oh, I wish lately I've been having, if you're on Facebook, ever since I opened a Facebook account, just this year, I'm 37 years old, okay? But just this year I opened a Facebook account. Ever since I opened up that Facebook account, and I've had so many requests to friend me, and majority of those are my classmates from elementary and from high school, And they know, obviously, they have postings of their pictures, and I look at what they do, and a lot of them, some of them are Christians. They actually became Christians. Some of them are pretty successful people. Some of them, most of us have families and kids now. But you know what I want to post on, well, you know what I want to tell them through that account? You know what I want to show them through that account? That I want to show them the gospel. My purpose of friending them, young people, you can relate with this. When somebody asks you to be their friend, you either accept it or you don't, right? I don't have to accept them, but you know my purpose, my reason for friending people on Facebook is that they will see the stuff that I post, and deep in the back of their mind, they're thinking, oh, if George or Don got saved, they may not believe right away, but deep in the back of their mind, you know what they're thinking? What about me? What about what's going on in my life? This old friend of mine, he's serving God, but what about me? I want them to by looking at the pictures that I post and looking at the verses that I post, the messages that I copy from you, Sister Mary, that I repost from what from your posting, I'm hoping that my friends, you know, will also come to realize and begin to ask themselves, what about me? Do I have the power of God in my life? Do I have the power of God in my life? Before I was called to pastor, I was called to preach at the age of 18. I helped in a small church in LA for over 10 years. I've only been a member of a large church for a few years, but most of my ministry experience, if you can call it that, is helping a small church. Throughout that whole time that I've been working and I've been trying to serve God in small churches, I've sought different careers and different jobs and different professions, trying to find out where God would use me for and through. But then I realize none of the professions that I do, and some of you know what I do, none of the professions that I do has that same effect. It doesn't have that same, it's almost like it doesn't matter if I had that profession or not. But the profession of preaching the Word of God, well, it's the power of God. It is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I should have been doing from the very beginning. And yet I've sought, you know, I went to chiropractic school, graduated when I was 24, got my first doctorate degree, and then I worked for LA County, I got my badge and everything, and trying to find what is it that will make an impact. What is it that will, I guess there was that emptiness, there was that void. And I opened up a business. Until now, that business is still exists. It's a martial arts school. It operates by itself without me being there. And I've tried that business world, and I went to law school, and I learned about the law and things like that. But one thing that God has proven to me, there is nothing than the preaching of the cross that is more powerful than any one of those things that I have done in my life. I like the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, there are so many things in this world that God allows us to do. You will never run out of a job. You'll never run out of a career. You will never run out of things to do on earth. Never. God has made it that way. But you know one thing I realize? I can spend the rest of my life looking and learning other careers and other professions out there. I'm pretty sure they're good because they will provide for my family. But I have yet to discover a profession, a calling, a responsibility that gives me a greater power, a greater access to God than the preaching of the cross of Christ. I have yet to discover a career, a job, a profession that changes people's lives more powerful than the preaching of the cross. I have yet to discover a program, a government program, a university, whether it be a seminary, that's able to change people's lives better than the preaching of the cross. Nothing. There's nothing that is greater. The Bible says the preaching of the cross for those that are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. I tell you why this church survived those 30, 40 years that God has allowed you folks to be here, Sister Fran, you know, Sister Jackie, those of you that have been here for so long, Sister Mary, Brother Pat, 30 years. I tell you why God has allowed you to live that long. Sister Joyce, 30 years, 40 years, maybe in this church, 20 years. All I know is you've been here so much longer. You've been a Christian so much longer than I have been. You know, Brother Gary, when you tell me how old you are and how many grandkids you guys have, I... You know one thing that I realized, the reason why you get to live so long and you still look a lot younger than you really are? And I'm not saying that to make you blush. I'm not saying that to make you blush. Here's one thing I realized. Where you draw that power from is from the preaching of the cross. Amen. And I tell you what will allow us to continue as a church, and will allow you to continue to stay healthy and young and still have that drive to serve God, if we keep in memory, if we keep preaching the cross, it is the power of God in our lives. When you're getting weak, when you're about to give up, when you're losing hope, go back to the preaching of the cross, for it is the power of God. Amen. The preaching of the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you, Lord God, for the fun time and fellowship. Thank you for the encouragement that you've given me through your word from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as we continue this discourse, as we continue our fellowship, God. Thank you for strengthening us, for empowering us with your word. Help me to continue to preach your word without compromise. Help me, Lord God, to stay young and to look up to these folks that are on their fourth quarter of their lives, and yet they're continuing on, they're going forward, God. They're not giving up in this ministry. They're not giving up in serving you. Bless this church, bless the rest of our fellowship today. Pray for those that are unable to be with us, and thank you, God, for bringing us visitors, service after service, day after day, Sunday after Sunday. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing us visitors that we may be able to minister to them. Bless the rest of this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and proceed to the fellowship hall, and we'll continue.